On today's episode, a very special guest, Cubs prospect Matt Mervis. We get into some upcoming events, the 2023 season, and more with him. Let's go.
Our Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Wednesday episode as we move along here with another week in the offseason. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into a discussion with you on all things Cubs. We have a very special episode today with a very special guest. He hit 309 with 36 home runs and 119 runs batted in across three levels of the minor leagues in 2022, for which he was named Cubs Minor League Player of the Year, and then topped that off with an Arizona Fall League All-Star honor, among other accolades from last season. And we're going to bring him in right now. It is Matt Mervis. Matt, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Our first guest we've ever had on the show that isn't a Locked On member, and it's a big one, folks. It's a big one. So first question I'd like to start with, Matt. Obviously, 2022 was a breakout campaign for you, probably in some ways even a life-changing sort of thing. Was there anything before the season, like mentally or mechanically, that you tweaked that you feel like spark that season for you, or is this just something that was just a natural progression for you?
Yeah, both mentally and mechanically. The mental side is, everyone knows it's really important in baseball, and it's something that I've had to work on for a long time. And luckily I have a lot of people in my corner that have helped with that, whether it's the Cubs mental skills folks, or just even some of my parents' friends will send me books, or my grandparents will send me books, not entirely about baseball, but just mental skills and how to control your mind when you get into high stress situations and things like that. Sure. And then mechanically, just, I've said this before on other shows, just simplify. Everything I want to do in the batter's box is just be simple. And so last off season, all I worked on was being short to the ball and keeping my mechanics and my thoughts as simple as I could.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, following up on that, talking about like high stress situations and you know, mental things. Last year, from high A to Tennessee to Iowa, your numbers either stayed the same or increased. But what was really rare that you never see from somebody coming up in the minor leagues is each level that you progressed, your strikeout rate actually went down. Which I thought was kind of fascinating. What would you attribute that to, if anything?
I think mostly it was pitch selection. Two things. I'll say pitch selection and understanding pitchers' plans to get me out.
Sure.
So in high A to start the year, it was just, I'm better than these guys. I can hit everything, so I'm going to swing at everything. And so I struck out 25% of the time, but I also had the highest batting average out of the three levels that I had. And a lot of that was warming up. Like, I didn't feel good at all in 2021. I wanted to find a feel that I liked early in the season this year. And so I was just swinging and getting myself into positions that I wanted to. And I was just trying things out and, obviously chased a little bit too much with that strikeout rate, but it allowed me to feel my swing and understand what I wanted to do. And then double A, just moving up. Obviously, guys have better stuff, especially in the bullpen. Just sharper breaking balls. Everyone throws a little harder. The fastballs have a little bit more carry. So just having to understand where the pitch has to start out of the pitcher's hand. And also beginning to learn pitch selection and how guys are going to attack me at higher levels. And then triple A, it was honestly some credit to the umpires. Guys typically aren't going to, if I'm hitting in the three or four hole, guys typically aren't going to try to attack the middle of the plate. So if I can lay off a pitch, a ball or a ball and a half off the plate, and trust that the umpire is going to call it a ball, then I'll get myself into better counts and be able to hit.
Yeah, fair. Very fair.
Yeah, and Matt, combined across those three levels of the minor leagues, your splits against both left and right-handed pitching were solid, but you had hundreds of more plate appearances against righties than lefties. We're wondering what your view is on the right-lefty split concept in general and what it may take for you personally to improve against lefties, if you even think that's necessary.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement. And I was, especially in double A, I struggled against lefties. But historically, I haven't. And I think I made a great adjustment in triple A, especially towards the end of the season where I did a little bit more damage against lefties. I think struck out a little bit less towards the end of the year. So obviously, those are the things that the Cubs are looking for, and they don't want me to have giant splits between the two sides. But you know, just keep working, do more angled machine in the off season, do more left-handed breaking ball work, stuff like that. Just so I'm not, you know, making that adjustment as soon as I get back to spring training. It's something that I'll already have seen in the off season.
As a teacher and a high school coach myself, Matt, we talk to young players about their approach, and not only before getting to the plate, but then early in the count. And what we typically see is that 0-0, 1-0, 0-1, about the same towards having a productive at-bat or a QAB, as we call it. But then the numbers really, really change as the count gets deeper. From your perspective, how important are those first two pitches of an at-bat?
I think more in terms of the swing counts rather than like the early count, like the first two pitches. Obviously, if you're going 0-2, then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of 0-0, 1-1, and 2-2 counts, where if I can get starting 0-0, if I can start 1-0 instead of 0-1, my numbers go up. And moving to 1-1, if I can get to 2-1 instead of 1-2, that's a huge advantage for me. 1-2, obviously, you're behind in the count, and you have to fight pretty early on. 2-1, I have at least two pitches to play with. And see what I can do with that. And then 2-2. In my head, the pitcher's worst count is a 3-2 count because they hate walks. And if that forces them to throw a ball, a pitch over the middle of the plate, then that's something I can do damage with. And if they're going to nibble, then I can take my walk. So really, in those even counts, I really want to flip it in my advantage. And ideally, if they throw a 1-1 strike, I don't want to miss it. It's something I can drive, then I'm going to do what I can to not get into a 1-2 count.
I'd like to explore a little bit about how the Cubs as an organization view hitting, because it seems like we've heard so much about the pitch lab and what is happening on the pitching side, which is, of course, you know, an important side of the ball. But what can you tell us or what sticks out about the Cubs right now with what they're trying to do with the hitters on the offensive side?
Yeah, I think from a coaching perspective, we have a really good balance between like the biometrics guys and people that focus on the movement and, you know, the proper mechanics of the swing. And you pair those people with, you know, the hitters, the hitting people. Like Tommy Byers, he's a longtime Cubs hitting coordinator, and he just comes in and works with people right away, and he knows how to talk to hitters about feel and, you know, actually hitting in the box. And we have multiple other people like that. But I think we're doing a really good job of not only developing mechanics and being, you know, moving properly, but also, you know, helping guys hit along the way.
Nice.
All right. We'll have more with Matt Mervis on the other side. But first, we wanted to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I like BetOnline to get a Matt Mervis homer over-under total locked in. Let's set that up. Let me get the over on that, please. Back to being serious, Matt. So transitioning just briefly to the other side of the ball, I think the Cubs have made it fairly obvious this year to their fans at the big league level that they're really focusing on run prevention and defense with some of their free agent signings. So where are you defensively at first base? Where's your comfort level? And is there anything specific you feel like you need to improve so you're comfortable at the big league level?
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable. I went through a little stretch this year where I didn't feel like I was moving as well and specifically didn't have as much range to my backhand. Just felt like I wasn't really getting the balls. So I made a switch in season during my pregame work to just go over to shortstop and, you know, be athletic, see hops at a different angle, try to cover more ground and read hops better than, you know, just seeing the same fungos every day or the same hooked ground balls in batting practice, stuff like that.
Sure.
And so just continuing to do that and be athletic and also, you know, working around the bag. If they're going to keep the bigger bags that we use in the minor leagues, if they're going to put those in the big leagues, then I like those. I think it's more room for me to stretch around the base, but it is a little different. So working off work, just, you know, first baseman are supposed to pick up their teammates. So, you know, hammering down picks and making sure I can read those hops and get my body in the right position to help those guys out.
Yeah, Matt Cozy, before you go, I always find it funny. People always say that first base, that's the easiest place to play defense. And it may be true, maybe not, but it's so important because it's like, you know, you're up a run late in the game and somebody's turning a double play and they throw one low. If you pick that, you win the game. If it gets by, you lose the game. I mean, it's the most important, you know, it's the most important play out there. I always find it funny when people just throw away that position defensively. Go ahead, Matt Coase.
Matt, you're a part of a farm system that has been really highly regarded, especially over the last year, and having really both individual and team success with a couple affiliates playing deep into the postseason this past fall. You know, there's a lot on the baseball side, obviously, that we can discuss and that does separate itself from the pack in terms of that, but maybe it's vibe or clubhouse or attitude or whatever it is. What could separate this current group of prospects from the rest of the league?
Yeah, being in three different clubhouses this year, I saw it at all three levels. Guys everywhere just get along. I think we have a really good group of guys, no matter what the age is, no matter what the background is. You know, every day walking in the locker room, there's energy, there's music playing, there's guys playing cards together, stuff like that. Just, you know, keeping it light before we get to work for another day. Sure. So I think it's great that guys aren't showing up 10 minutes before they have to get to work, and guys aren't just showering and hitting the road right after the game. You know, people are spending time together, you know, getting to know your teammates and become friends. You know, obviously it's a hard season. It's a long season. So if you can find something light to do before the game or after the game and, you know, find some people to hang out with, and baseball is going to get a lot easier too.
Do you think that the closer you are as teammates, the better you could be?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you know the guys that you're playing with on the field, then you're going to have better chemistry.
Awesome.
Going off of that, across the three levels this year, was there any player or teammate that stood out that you'd like to highlight, whether it was on the field or off the field, that you either built chemistry with or you just were amazed by their ability at their age or anything along those lines?
Yeah, there are a ton. I mean, starting in spring training, I was blown away by PCA. You know, just watching him shag fly balls is entertaining. He's an incredible athlete. He glides and knows exactly where his glove is. I mean, we saw it during the year too, but he's obviously a great player. And then moving up, there were any guy that made a jump through the system, obviously I was impressed with.
Sure.
Canario, Estrada, Padilla, and I all started in high A. The
Wow.
two pitchers made their debuts. Canario obviously finished really strong in AAA as well.
Yeah.
Darius Hill is a guy that doesn't get nearly enough credit for what he's done in his minor league career, and especially what he did this year. Jake Slaughter, another guy that absolutely mashed in his opportunity this year. And then a bunch of the younger guys. I mean, guys that I didn't play with this year that I'm really high on had great seasons. And I think we have a lot more prospects than people are talking about.
Cool.
Couple things for you before I swing it back over to Sam, Matt. And one of those is in terms of the off season, which we're now, about 5 or 6 weeks out from spring training here, or maybe less before you report to Sloan, is have you been following what the Cubs have been doing in the off season, or how is your view of that in terms of your focus?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to follow. Obviously,
Okay.
that's the team I want to play for, and hopefully the teammates that I'll be playing with. But at the same time, it's the approach that I took during the season was, show up every day ready to compete and have a good game. So I'm taking that same approach in the off season, just getting what I need to get done every day. Not worrying about any moves or speculating about any moves. It's still my job to go out and play hard and play well. So, I'm doing what I need to do on my end, and hopefully it works out.
Absolutely. And we talked a lot about the prospect core and the group already there and the camaraderie. Wanted to ask you about your view of the current major league core that is homegrown, the Haps, the Horners, Steele, Thompson, some others. And have any of so what are what is your view on that core that is in the show right now? And if any of those guys that I listed or someone else been your go-to person to talk to or help you out along the way?
I think it's a great core. Obviously, I mean, Hap was an all-star last year. Nico was had an incredible season and should have been a Gold Glove finalist. And then Steele obviously had a great year. There's a ton of homegrown talent, not only in the big leagues, but also will be in the big leagues very soon. So I think that speaks to the camaraderie and the good culture we had in the locker rooms that I was talking about earlier. Guys that support each other, guys that help each other out, and really wish the best for everybody. So I haven't had a whole lot of conversations with anybody. I talked to Keegan a little bit when he was rehabbing in AAA. Talked to Adbert a little bit in AAA, but other than that, haven't had a whole lot of conversations with any of those guys.
Sure. You always hear high level athletes like yourself talking about, you can control what you have to control what you can control and not worry about other factors. So I ask you this just personally, your opinion on yourself, and I think we're going to close with this question. We've talked a lot, Matt Cozy and I, on this show. I actually didn't realize we're dealing with two Matts today, and
Yeah, we
I
should have
yeah.
added that to our list.
Yeah, well, whatever. We've been actually talking about recently on our show, it's been a hot topic among Cub fans. Will Matt Mervis start the year in the big leagues? Obviously, that's out of your control. My question to you is how important is it? Is it a priority? Is it a goal of yours to be in that lineup March 30th at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, it's a goal. It's what I want to do. I wanted to be a big leaguer for 20 years, since I started playing baseball. So that's something I want to do, and I'm going to do what I can to be on the opening day roster. And if I'm not, then I go back to work and hopefully spend as little time as possible in Iowa and make my debut. But again, that's something I'm not going to concern myself over.
Sure.
If I make the team, then that's awesome, and that's step one of hopefully fulfilling out a long big league career. But if I have to start in Iowa and work my way up, then that's what I'll do.
Well, you could rest assured we've been pounding the table for you to start opening day. You got some supporters here.
Absolutely. And we of course know about Mash Mervis and other shows and the Cubs internet universe that have collaborated with you on that. We wanted to try to have some type of hashtag or some connection, not only with you, Matt.
But you wanted it. I want this. Yeah. I don't care about this.
I want to make some waves a little bit. Yeah. But I want to have it for the entire organization offensively. And so what I want to ask you first is rake still a big verb that we're using as hitters, even in pro ball?
Yeah. Yeah. If a guy's good, he rakes.
Okay. Well, then I have a hashtag for all hitters up and down the system, including the majors this year. And you could just tell us your immediate thoughts. Hashtag rake city.
Oh boy.
I think it's got to be more Cubs related.
Okay. More Cubs related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rake city could be for the University of Nebraska.
All right. Well, I'll have to try to brainstorm on something. Okay. All right, Matt, thank you so much for being with us today, and have a great rest of the off season. Best of luck this spring.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
Okay. Be sure to subscribe for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button and all your favorite Locked On Cubs content, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods on the audio side. And remember to drop us a text at 312-834-4634. And thanks for making us your first listen every day.
Cubs convention, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Also, Matt, that's right. Thank you, Sam. Yeah. Matt is going to be at the Cubs convention this weekend, Sheridan Grand Chicago. And then at the Obvious Shirts store in Wrigleyville with PCA this Monday, January 16th. Are you and PCA pretty close?
We haven't been teammates, at least in regular season play, but yeah, we talk a good amount, became friends in spring training this year. And, we've talked a few times in the off season, so just keeping in touch. And I know I'm excited for that. I hope he is too.
Yeah. Well, that's a star studded group, almost as star studded as you and me on this show, Matthew Cozy.
that's for sure. All right. For Matt Mervis and Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy, and this is Locked On Cubs.